I'm Henry Hampton, and the fact is I never quite got in the Unitarian Church. I had been raised a Catholic by the Jesuits and was really for 4 or 5 years testing the waters because I had become so disillusioned about religion per se, and was working for the denomination. I was really the only senior black staff member at the UUA for the 5 years I was there, from 63 to 68. And for the first 4 years, it was mostly a professional learning experience with wonderful side benefits, one of which was learning about the civil rights movement because the denomination was so intimately involved in that activity, from first with the March on Washington and then Selma, and later when the Black Caucus first entered into my life, I was just about that time thinking about seriously committing and becoming a UU. Well, I was raised in a good black middle-class family in St. Louis, and we were all raised to believe in the equality of the races and to a sense of excellence about ourselves and what we were supposed to be doing. And the idea of being in an all-black meeting was just incomprehensible to me. I had been in sit-ins and demonstrations in my last couple of years in college in St. Louis, even before the major sit-in movement. We had desegregated a restaurant in next to my university in St. Louis. But it was simply not part of my experience to walk into a room where the only reason you could be there, the reason you should be there, is because you were black. And it upset me. I had to really think about whether I was going to stay or not. When I went to the caucus meeting, it took a while, but very quickly it simply became clear that what could happen in a meeting of people, of all black people, is that the agenda could become very clear, and that it was a very useful and provocative setting that was reasonable. Then I had talked about and learned things that I hadn't thought about in years. Indeed, I never knew. Just hearing other black people talking about themselves and about the turmoil and pain and the isolation sometimes of being black, especially those of us who had grown up in predominantly white institutions, it was so much simpler and cheaper than therapy. And for me, it was church. People would call a meeting and they would start to put together an agenda. And over the space of that year, we formulated this institutional revision, which was the Black Affairs Council. We organized a national setup, the Black Unitarian Universalist Caucus. We talked to each other a lot and developed a entirely new set of relationships amongst ourselves. It was also crazy. I mean, it was crazy like all things were in the late 60s. As always with these, with social movements of this kind, the leadership is really interesting. And in this case, Jules Ramey and Lou Gothard had brought the idea and created the caucus. And there emerged a, Hayward was probably, 27, 28-year-old microbiologist from Boston University who sat quietly through all those early meetings, and then at the plenary session just exploded. I mean, he was, as he spoke, he gave voice to everybody in the room because he was so articulate and so passionate. And that was something that even the unis had to respect, because he was a rhetorician, but the intellect was very clear. He became a leader of not only the black unis, but many of the whites, who I think had never reacted to that kind of preaching before, because it was tied to the intellectual construct, but it was also tied to the passion of black aspiration. And so he was a known character. I have no regrets at all about the caucus movement. In fact, I'm probably will be quite grateful for it, because it was indeed my church, as I think I said. But but what a church it might have been. It really, if we had all been able to sort of do it, we would pose it first in such nice and friendly and civilized terms to the denomination, and they would say no, and then we would pose it in much more aggressive and direct terms, and they would find a way to say no. But it was always, it took a long time to really understand that no matter how you posed or phrased the question, that the answer was going to be no, because there really was not an interest in participating in what most of us saw that was a critical issue, which was the sense of blacks and minorities feeling free within the denomination, within the society. Racism was certainly one of the challenging elements of my relationship with the denomination. But for me, it was even more a matter of respect. The denomination had an impossible time trying to just simply respect my agenda. And I mean, that is racism, or a certain level element of it. But if people in the denomination came to me and said, you know, these are things that are critically important to us, and they oftentimes did, and I would pay attention to that, as you would on any, you know, human basis. They wouldn't do that for black unis, and I clearly shifted in their view when I stopped being just a good staffer and sort of a nice Negro and had this other agenda that I wanted dealt with, and it was the lack of respect that just said this isn't going to work. I am given to talking about dreams and dreaming, because it is, I think, the first profound thought I ever had, maybe the last one, but the first one certainly was about how dreaming separates us from other animal life forms. And there is, I have a favorite line from a play I read years ago. It's a pre-Chaucerian English play that I don't even know the name of, but the line goes, "In dreams begin responsibility." And indeed, it really is true. When people dream of something, then you can begin to take it upon yourself and make it yours and change it. But you have to dream it first. And the Unitarians don't dream. They didn't then. I don't know if they do now or not. But you have to dream it first. You have to think of the world you really as you would really have it, or something that you would have different about the world. I don't mean wish it. I mean dream it. And sometimes I think they wish more than they dream. Mm-hmm.